Chapter 4. Nisha woke up early to watch the arrival of the space mission into orbit around the moon. The U.S. stock market opened down again, dropping a total of 15% since the voices began. The DHS contacted Nisha, and she spoke with General Sherman again. "Good morning, Dr. Chandra. Within an hour, our astronauts will make visual contact with the alien vessel. Right now, the vessel is orbiting on the other side of the moon from our astronauts. We want your input as to what to expect." "I wish I could give you a list of expectations and guidelines, but I can't," she said. "The most important thing is to be prepared for any eventuality. This is the most significant meeting the human species has ever attended. The meeting might go in many different directions." "Okay, we're listening," the general said. "First, they might ignore us. We might be nothing but a fly on their wall. In this scenario, take care to not irritate them, or they might swat us away. Don't do anything to make the situation worse." "Okay, what else?" the president said. "They might regard our approach as a threat. We must approach them slowly and carefully. Use passive reconnaissance, don't scan them. They're highly advanced, so I doubt they think we're a serious threat. However, if we threaten them, they might remove the irritant to make their lives easier." "I agree," the general said. "Thirdly, they might be here to explore. There's no way to hide our planet or species now, so we might as well be open. Let them scan us, and we can be curious too." "Let's hope they're not too curious," the president said. "Finally, this might be a probe with no sentient or organic creatures aboard. Be careful not to do anything that might lie outside of their agentic plans. The probe might execute instructions designed for self-protection. We don't want the vessel to protect itself by killing the astronauts or destroying the Earth." "Yes, sophisticated AI systems have been known to overprotect themselves," the general said. "Try to learn about them and record as much information as you can and send it back to Earth instantly if possible. That's all I can tell you for now. I'll be ready when they get close. If they're organic, I might be able to spot behaviors that can help us. This help might range from learning about the universe to the survival of our species." After another 10 minutes of discussion, they finished. "Thanks, Dr. Chandra," the general said. "Our mission will be in visual range in 45 minutes. Stand by to connect to the mission. Thus far, no change in the status of the alien vessel has been observed. I'm sure they know we're coming, or it knows. You'll connect a few minutes before we're in visual range."
"Okay," Nisha said. "Good luck."
The next 40 minutes seemed like days. The stock market gradually drifted 2% lower on the day on low volume as people waited. 9 billion people on Earth who had access to a connected device watched anxiously. Business activity ground to a halt. Heavy traffic seemed to evaporate from cities and highways. Airline flights were canceled due to low passenger volume and cancellations. At the predetermined time, Nisha connected to the astronauts aboard the space mission. She and her family watched in real time, as though they were there. The nearby moon filled half the sky in high relief against the black void of space. They were in a lower orbit to catch up with the alien craft. On the moon's horizon, a small, shining star appeared.
"We've established visual contact with the vessel," astronaut Steve Messier said.
Nisha monitored her Reddit stream for the latest updates. Many important astronomers and scientists promised to update Reddit with all relevant discoveries and observations.
"Steve, so far, I'm receiving no reports of any changes coming from the vessel," Nisha said.
"Acknowledged," Steve said.
"I understand the sounds have come to you too," Nisha said.
"Yes, right now I hear them faintly, at precisely the same time we got into visual range. It's like my ears are ringing, but there are patterns to the ringing. It's like a crowd put through autotune."
"I hear no sounds right now," Nisha said.
"As we get closer to the vessel, the sounds are getting louder."
"Be careful," Nisha said.
For 20 minutes, they edged closer to the sphere and they went behind the moon from the Earth's perspective. After 4 more minutes, they emerged.
"We're now 10 kilometers from the alien vessel," Steve said. "It's perfectly spherical and reflective. It's as smooth as a mirror. Even from this distance, the vessel fills a 90-degree arc in the sky. We're picking up no other signs of communications or energy transmissions. The sounds continue to become louder as we get nearer. They're communications of some sort. The sounds are clearer up here compared to when I'm on the surface of the Earth. They're unlike any language I've ever known, assuming they're voices."
Nisha continued monitoring her network of astronomers on Reddit and elsewhere.
"Nobody on my networks detect any signs of activity. I'll keep monitoring the situation."
5 kilometers and closing,
Steve said. We're preparing to decelerate. The vessel is silent. We're picking up nothing on our instruments here on any frequency other than the noisy static. We calculate the diameter at about 32 kilometers or 20 miles. From this distance, the vessel takes up over 120 degrees of angle in the sky. The moon is reflected perfectly in the sphere. I get confused looking down to the moon and looking up to its reflection. It's disorienting to be this close. The voices sound louder. They're still unintelligible. Nothing is being reported on my network, Nisha said. On Earth, activity came to a standstill. The U.S. stock markets were still open. The averages dropped 3% and stabilized. The president and members of Congress were holding sessions underground. Most schools were closed or had sent their students home early. People were glued to their eyepieces, mobile devices, monitors, or screens. 20 minutes later, they drifted to within 100 meters of the surface of the vessel. We detect no signs of activity, Steve said. We can see our reflection. We're so close we can no longer perceive the curvature. The sphere appears to us like an endless flat mirror. My heart rate is 120. The vessel is magnificent. Alan Cassini is prepared for the spacewalk now. I'm still receiving nothing new down here, Nisha said. Acknowledge, Nisha, Steve said. Alan, proceed when you're ready. Within a minute, the airlock opened and Alan exited the spacecraft. He lightly used his thrusters. 80 meters to the edge, he said. Go slow, Steve said. 60 meters and closing at 1 meter per second. I'm reading no anomalies at all from any instrument, Alan said. Same down here, Nisha said. The sounds are transmitting at a more rapid pace, Steve said. I'm going slow and easy, Alan said. 30 meters and slowing to 0.5 meters per second. Pulse, 120. After one of the longest minutes in human history, Alan closed to within 1 meter of the surface of the sphere. The gaseous exhaust from the reverse thrusters bounced off the surface. I'm reading nothing unusual here, other than an extremely high-frequency emission, which envelops the sphere within a few meters of the surface. The closer I get, the more intense the emission becomes. I can't detect any patterns at all. The sphere might act as an antenna, focusing weak signals from their home world. My pulse is also 120, Steve said. Alan, proceed with extreme caution and attempt to get as close as you can. The sounds are increasing in intensity. Acknowledged, Alan said. I think I'm as close as I'm going to get. My reflection isn't as clear as it was further back. The surface has no solid edge. I can push my hand in a little bit, but there's some form of resistance. Stop, Steve said. The instant you touch the surface, in my mind, the sounds became more active. I'm picking up an energy transmission now. I think you better get back here immediately. Affirmative, Alan said. I'm on my way back. Nisha noticed some new posts coming in from her astronomer Reddit list and other sources. A burst of transmissions came from the sphere just as Alan made contact. I also recommend an end to the spacewalk. Understood, Nisha, Steve said. The withdrawal process is underway now. Hold on, I picked up a brief static electric charge. Alan, get back here now. This is weird, Alan said. There's a bulge developing in the reflective surface. Do you see that? Yes. Hurry up, Steve said. The bulge is getting bigger. A smaller sphere just popped out, see it? The effect is like when a drop of water hits a puddle and a smaller drop reemerges. Billions of people on Earth watched the events unfold. The stock market dropped more. Alan, be calm and don't engage the object, Nisha said. Don't act aggressive or show fear. Slowly make your way back to the ship. Understood, Alan said. I'm 80 meters from the ship. My speed is 0.5 meters per second away from the big sphere. The smaller sphere is about 3 or 4 meters in diameter and heading right towards me. The surface is reflective and looks like the big one does from further away. The sphere is getting too close for comfort. It's only 3 meters away from me. I'm detecting an energy transmission. Okay, Steve said. The sphere is scanning you. I'm not detecting any ionizing radiation or any other danger. Stop and let the scan proceed. I'll stop, Alan said. Wait, I notice a little bulge developing in the smaller sphere. A floating object has emerged. Can you confirm? Yes, Steve said. It's a drone about the size of a basketball. The device is mechanical. It's not organic or living. Several of its ion thrusters can fire in rapid succession. Don't move and let the drone examine you. Your pulse is 140. Take deep and slow breaths. Understood, Alan said. The drone is moving closer and is now right in front of my face. Some intelligence might be at the controls, but I sense the drone is acting autonomously. It's scanning me. A camera or eye is in front. Eight legs are opening from a central body. It looks like a metallic king crab or a giant spider. It's nimble like a spider. Alan, don't move. The sounds are getting more active in my mind now, more like electronic voices. Something is happening. Nisha, are you picking up anything on the ground? Yes, the sounds are louder now, Steve, Nisha said. I think they're clearer to you because of your proximity. Nobody I'm following is reporting any significant changes in the status of the big sphere. Acknowledge Nisha, Steve said. The spider drone is an inch from my helmet now, Steve, Alan said. Its legs are grasping onto the edge, surrounding my clear visor. I'm having problems seeing. I'm beginning to not like this. Stay calm, Alan, Steve instructed. Let it finish studying you and return to the sphere. Understood, Alan said. This is strange. Now I can't seem to move. I can breathe, but I can't move my arms or legs. I'm paralyzed. The drone is doing this to avoid any trouble while data is being collected. Try to relax. Breathe deeply and slowly. Easy for you to say, Alan said. My heart rate is 150. Now the drone is grasping around the edge of the clear visor part of my helmet. A thin appendage is coming out of the center thorax of the drone body. The appendage is thick but nimble, like the labrum of a mosquito. I hope the purpose is different. The labrum is tapping on my helmet. I think it's searching for a way in. I can't move or get this thing off me. If my suit is punctured, I'll die. Stay calm, Alan, Steve said. Their mastery of AI and other technologies is advanced, so they must know what they're doing. If they wanted to kill us, we'd already be dead. They paralyzed you, but you can still breathe. They're trying to examine you, alive. I hope you're right, Alan said. Steve, the drone is drilling a hole in my visor. Tell my family I love them. I can't move. The drill is penetrating now. He paused.
Sick.
I haven't lost suit pressure, though the needle has penetrated my visor by about 1 inch. The needle is half the thickness of a straw. I thought the drone would try to suck my blood or inject me with something, but so far, nothing has happened. Alan, this is good, Nisha said. The drone is taking care to not allow the air to escape from your suit. You're wanted alive. I'm watching the video from the camera that's inside your suit. I can watch everything you're seeing. You're sweating a lot. Try to stay calm and breathe evenly. The drone might be sampling your air and doing other tests. Right, Nisha, but I'm wondering why the drone wants me alive. Maybe it wants to incubate something in me. Well, I should not be arguing at this point, right? I'm still alive, Alan said, trying to bring a little humor to the situation. Wait, a small cloud of dust is coming out of the hollow needle. The drone is too close for me to see. This is only speculation at this point, Nisha said. The cloud isn't dust. The cloud seems intelligent and is comprised of small, nanometer-sized drones, which move independently. They move as a swarm. Now they're dissipating within your helmet. What are you experiencing? My neck itches, Alan said. I'd like to scratch, but I can't move. Even if I could, I can't scratch through my suit. They're crawling all over my body. Some are in my nose. They're going down my throat. More of those spider drones are exiting the small sphere, Steve said. They're heading towards the lunar module. I'm starting to become paralyzed, so I'm strapping myself in. The voices are loud now. I'm looking at the external cameras, Nisha said. The spider drones are crawling over the entire ship. They're inspecting the external components. I notice one floating over to the biggest window. Do you see, Steve? Yes, the drone's labrum is drilling a hole in the glass. I hope it remembers to keep the air inside. Now the labrum is through the glass and the air isn't escaping. The drone is releasing a cloud of those nano drones. The stock market is crashing, Nisha said as she watched her Reddit stream. It's down 10% in the past 3 minutes. Trading is halted. That's a 20% drop in the past few days. People are emptying stores too. The nano drones are filtering into all of the electronics, Steve said. Some are crawling around on me now. Alan, are you okay? I don't know, Alan said. The drones are exploring the inside of my body. My insides are itching like a million ants are crawling around inside. I'm not in pain and I'm not sick. I still can't move. I'm floating out here. 2 minutes of silence. Wait, something is different. I think the drone stopped probing. They're exiting out of my nose now. My nose itches like crazy. Yes, they're all leaving and they're entering the labrum of the spider drone. I'm worried what will happen when the drone pulls out the labrum. I have the tape ready to plug the hole. Steve, what's happening over in the capsule? Nisha said. Clouds of them are everywhere, Steve said. The inside of the cabin looks dirty. Cleanup seems impossible. They're inside me, too. The experience is like the tingling when your leg falls asleep, except it's all throughout my body. Some of them are returning to the spider probe now.
Alan, what's happening? Nisha said.
The probe on my visor is withdrawing its labrum right now. I don't detect any air escaping. The labrum is filling in the hole in the glass. What a relief. The tingling is gone. Also, I'm beginning to regain some control over my limbs. I think the paralysis is wearing off.
That's good news, Steve said.
Get back to the capsule as soon as you can. The nanodrones have re-entered the spider. The hole is sealed. Steve paused for a while, then continued. The spiders are re-entering the small sphere. Now the small sphere is heading towards the huge sphere. The little sphere entered the big sphere like a water droplet falling onto the surface of a larger body of water. I think we're going to be okay. The stock market is rebounding, Nisha said. In the past minute, half of the losses have been recovered. The averages are still down about 5% on the day, though. You guys will need to stay up there while we assess the contamination protocols. We can't allow you return to Earth now.
I understand, Steve said. I look forward to the resupply and decontamination shuttles. We're going into a lunar orbit on the other side of the moon from them now.
20 minutes later, Nisha signed off. She sighed and logged into her retirement accounts and sold everything. She realized the unpredictable nature of this encounter and the uncertainty of the future. The stock market hates uncertainty. Soon afterwards, the DHS contacted Nisha. Her family hid behind the door as usual.
Hello, Dr. Chandra. This is General Sherman. You did an excellent job.
Nisha smiled.
Thank you, General. I had to improvise my way through it. We know nothing.
That's why we wanted you here, the general said. We needed someone with a wide array of skills to assist us. We'll need you for some time. They'll be here for a while.
I agree. Their technological prowess is impressive, Nisha said.
Do you want to know my initial impressions?
Yes.
First of all, the nanodrones are complex. I think they know everything about our bodies now. They know our capabilities, our limitations, our DNA, and everything else. They or it might already know more about us than we know about us. They also know our technology. They've inspected our computer systems and downloaded information. They can paralyze us quickly and easily. Their voices sound like parts of an interconnected hive mind.
So now, do you think the alien entities behind this are artificial? The general said.
I can't tell if their intelligence is machine, organic, a hybrid of the two, or something else. Perhaps their AI hit a singularity. Then the original organic species went extinct, and these machines are what's left.
That sounds familiar, he said.
Yes, our species is at a critical point in our evolution where artificial intelligence will surpass human intelligence. When that happens, AI might outsmart us, and we will go extinct. The smarter species always wins. We might leave behind machines which later explore the universe. The machines we're encountering now might be what's left of an organic species from a distant planet. Their makers might be extinct. The voices or whatever I pick up in my mind sound electronic to me.
Yes, we've been discussing this AI singularity extinction thing in my DARPA meetings lately. It sounds like sci-fi to me.
Don't take it lightly, General. I've spent my life studying the living and dying of species. Species go extinct when others get an edge on them. An advanced AI will have an advantage over us. It won't care about us and it's self-modifying.
Okay, the general said. What lesson did you learn from this encounter?
They learned a great deal about us and we learned little about them. We're going up to bat with two strikes against us. I need to think more about this before I can say any more. I hope they're friendly.
I hope so too, the general said. Thank you, Dr. Chandra. I need to go, but keep us informed the minute you know anything.
I will, Nisha said. Be careful when you quarantine the astronauts on return. Active or hibernating nanodrones might still be inside them.
Nisha signed off and wrote a few posts, updating everyone about what she had learned. Priya ran into the room first.
Mom, you're a star! Everyone in the world will know about you. Your community has more than 20 million members. You're a queen.
Quinn ran to Nisha and picked her up in his arms. "I'm proud of you, my queen," he said with the widest smile.
"Put me down, you oaf," she cried out. "Bring me my crown and bow down before your queen like the subjugate you are."
They laughed.
"What's going to happen now?" Quinn said.
"I have no idea," she said. "All we can do is to wait and watch what they do. We can't be like a Jedi Knight in an old Star Wars movie and suggest to them, 'Move along now. This is not the planet you're looking for.' What's happening now is my biggest dream and my worst nightmare all in one. For now, I want to have dinner and relax. Oh, I sold all our stock holdings to be on the safe side. I bought some put options, so if the market drops, we make money. Most options were overvalued because of the volatility, so I bought in the money put options and SPX short contracts."
"Good move, Nish," Quinn said. "Your hands are sweating again, but they weren't a minute ago."
"Yeah, I was so focused on what was happening up there that I forgot about being scared. It was a nice feeling while it lasted." After dinner, Nisha walked outside to watch the moon on the telescope screen. She wondered if these were the last of the good old days. She felt almost nostalgic for the recent wars and heat famines, which killed millions and displaced hundreds of millions. It would be nice to only have those problems to worry about. They seemed quaint compared to what may lie ahead. An hour later, Quinn walked out into the warm and fragrant summer air.
Nish, you've been staring at the moon for a long time. What are you thinking?"
"I'll tell you in a minute," Nisha said, deciding not to tell him everything. "Look at the screen. You need to view the alien sphere." Quinn followed the sphere transiting across the lunar face. He felt goosebumps. "The sphere is an enigma," he said. "It silently orbits around and around, not allowing us to know anything. We're wondering, without hope of understanding its purpose or mission."
"Oh, we'll find out," Nisha said.
"They don't seem to be leaving. I hoped after a few scans of some humans and other life forms here on Earth, they would be ready to take off on the next leg of their mission. The longer they stay, the more worried I get. But I still have hope they only want to learn about this solar system and afterwards they'll move along. However, they spent only a brief time looking at the other planets on our solar system. I think they're interested in us, or this planet." They talked for a while, arm in arm as they watched the object. Then they walked inside and read the news. People were still fighting the same old wars they were before they arrived. Politicians were still promoting their special interests. People were still following their favorite sports teams. On the outside, life seemed normal, despite the headlines about the alien sphere. She sent out one last post before turning in for the night. "The alien sphere isn't leaving. Be careful,"